All right, if you guys want to start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start out in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. Come back to a pretty familiar passage here. This is actually not the text for the study tonight, but I kind of want to bring something out here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it says this in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, this, again, is real familiar to all of us. But a lot of people in here have that verse memorized, and it's a great verse to have memorized. This verse, it actually explains two things. And I want to talk about that just for a second by way of introduction. But it explains two very important things that are going on here. First of all, it very clearly it explains the conditions of every lost man on earth. Right? It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." And the first thing it explains that they're in darkness, right? It says that they're blinded. These lost man, as it is, he has no light, right? There are no answers for him out in the world. And they'll find some, and they'll find some temporary comfort from them. But in the end, they're still lost. They're still in darkness. If you will, just let's see. Go to Acts chapter 26. We'll see it here. Acts chapter 26. I'm just going to read part of the verse. We'll actually be back at this verse a little bit later. But it says this in Acts chapter 26. This is actually our commission as Christians. But it says in verse 18, it says, "To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light." So lost men, in their natural state, they're in darkness. They're in spiritual darkness. It says to turn them from the power of Satan, unto God. So it's not obviously a physical darkness, but it's a spiritual darkness. And as it says in Matthew, I think it says, "Is how great is that darkness?" When a man is lost and in darkness, that is very dark. That's a very scary thing, because they don't know it, but we can look at it through the lens of the Bible and through God's eyes. That's a very scary thing. That's a scary thing for a lost man to be in. He's in darkness. Proverbs chapter 4, look what it says there. Proverbs chapter 4, you have a little bit, I know, again, this is a spiritual application of the verse, but you kind of have a side-by-side view of a lost man and a saved man. Look at chapter 4, and it says in verse 19, it says, verse 18, it says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light." So that would be the saved man. It says, "That shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble." And that gives a good picture there, because in type, that's what's going on. A lost man, a saved man is in the light. He's walking in the light, and a lost man's in darkness. And it says that they stumble. So, we could all put on goggles tonight or a bandana or whatever over eyes, and I'll try to walk around. It's not very fun. In fact, if we could just pick one guy out, or bring a kid in here and blindfold him and just say, "Okay, run around." You know what we'd probably wind up doing? Probably wind up laughing at him. You know, because he's going to stumble around. He's not going to know where he's at. He's going to be bumping into stuff. And so a lost man, but that's what a lost man does. But he does it in spiritual things. So he just walks around in darkness. And it's interesting because it says, and verse 19, they know not what they stumble. And it just so happens that Jesus Christ is what? The stone of stumbling. And so a lot of the times they'll stumble over Jesus Christ and they won't even know what he is. And it's a sad state. It's a sad thing for a lost man. But that's what he is. He's in darkness. Go back two books. Go to Job chapter 12. Go to Job chapter 12. In Job chapter 12, look at verse 24. It says this. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light. He maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. So if a man is lost without Jesus Christ, God has it so that he is what? Wandering in a wilderness. So you know what he is? He's lost. He doesn't have a way to go. He doesn't have a direction to go. So he's lost. He's just wandering around aimlessly. And it doesn't seem like that, right? Because we'll have goals and careers and all these things to push towards and all that. But you're just doing that in a wilderness. A lost man just does that in a wilderness. And it says they grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. And that's a great picture of a lost man. I know this is not necessarily talking about a lost man, but it gives a good picture of it. It's Matthew 6:23. It says, if therefore the light that is in them be darkness, how great is that darkness? And that first verse we read, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds, the first thing it explains that man is in darkness. Man is lost. Another thing I would like to say that it explains is it explains the devil's goal for every lost man or woman on the earth. And that is to blind their minds, to blind them, to keep them blinded. In John chapter 9, we'll look there. In John chapter 9, we'll look here. And again, this is a great picture of a lost man being born into the world. In John chapter 9, I'm actually going to look at one other verse real quick. In John chapter 9 and verse 1, it says this, it says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And that's how a man comes into the world. He comes into the world blind spiritually. You know, he doesn't come in and he's, you know, he's saved and all that. No, he's a sinner. He's lost. And yet God may not charge his sin to him if he dies at that point, but man, pretty soon that those eyes are opened and all of a sudden there's this realization of, I'm a sinner. But just because you don't realize that until you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, it doesn't mean that you're not. And you're blind. You're blind. You're blind from birth. You're born blind. And so with that, that's the devil's goal. The devil's goal is to keep them blind. It says, if the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall eventually into hell, right? Why? Because they can't see. They're just stumbling about. They're groping in the darkness. They don't know where they're going. And so that is the devil's goal. It's to blind them, and it's to keep them blind. It's to keep them in darkness. Now, just for contrast, look what it says in verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. And he had thus spoken. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And it's kind of interesting because while the devil's goal for a lost man is to keep him blind, to keep him in darkness, you have the exact opposite with the Lord. And it's so obvious. I mean, you could there's so many verses that you could look up, but in Psalm 146, it says, "The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind." That's the Lord's goal, is to open the eyes. In Isaiah, it says, "The eyes of the blind shall see." Very few times does the Lord ever want or try to blind somebody or keep them blinded. Many of the times, if a man rejects the truth, sometimes the Lord can say, and he is justified in saying, okay, fine, then you can stay in darkness. But he never purposely just darkens somebody's mind. But so the Lord's purpose is to bring light. In Isaiah 35, it says, "The eyes of the blind shall be opened." Why? Because that's what he wants for a lost man. He wants a lost man to be able to see. In Isaiah 42, it says, "To open the blind eyes." And it's just an interesting contrast because you have the devil who is actively trying to blind people's minds and actively trying to keep men in darkness, and then you have the Lord. And what is he actively doing? What does it say in Matthew? It says, the blind receive their sight. So Jesus Christ comes into the world as the light of the world to bring light into darkness. And of course, men love darkness rather than light. Go to Acts 28 again. Go to Acts 28. We'll read the rest of the verse that we had there. In Acts 28, verse 18, it says this. It says, "To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." And so Jesus Christ comes and then he anoints some men and he anoints all of us with the Holy Spirit, but he anoints us to go out and to preach the gospel and to shed this light. And of course, you can say this you could say that what we are to this community is a light, and that's what we're supposed to be. Now, go to Colossians chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter 1. And so it just so happens that when you got saved, this is what happened to you. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says this, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." Remember, it's from the power of Satan to the power of God. And so we were delivered from the power of darkness, right? Last night. Yes, it's just a holiday and a lot of people don't take it seriously, but that is the power of darkness. That's what is being celebrated, the power of darkness. And the Lord brings us out of that. And it says, "And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." So as a lost man, you were blinded, you were in darkness, and God shed light on your soul, and you received him, and he translated you from that kingdom into the kingdom of his dear Son. So that was the devil's goal for a lost man. But don't be fooled, because it doesn't end there. Because the devil still has a goal. And you might be saved, and that's great. It really is. That's the most important thing you can ever do in this life, is to receive Jesus Christ. But the battle is just as serious in a different way. Because if you will, let's look at our main text. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The devil has a goal for lost men, and then he has a goal for saved men. He has a goal for each one, and they're each just as important to him. He can't get your soul, but there's something else that he's going to go after. And you guys know where this is going, but look in verse 1. It says, 2 Corinthians 11:1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that is the devil's goal for all of us Christians, is to corrupt our minds. And the mind's a very important thing. You can do a lot of things with your mind. And we'll get into that a little bit deeper into the message. But Paul gives a huge warning to the Corinthians. And it's kind of interesting that it was given to the Corinthians, because it's obviously just as important for all of us, but the Corinthian church. I mean, this was the carnal church. That's what Corinthians was known for. The horrible things that went on. And so he says, hey, you better watch yourself, because the devil is going to try to corrupt your minds. And he says, but I fear. Paul was afraid of it. It doesn't mean that it just popped into his mind one day. Man, it was something that Paul thought about. And he probably labored over this. And you look through all of Paul's epistles, and he's always saying stuff about always making mention of you in my prayers. I wonder if Paul was always praying for these Corinthians to say, man, Lord, oh, I pray you help him to get in gear. I pray you help him to stay alert. Why? Because the devil, as beguiled Eve through his subtlety, he said, so your mind should be corrupted from them which are in Christ. And it doesn't really matter how old of a Christian you are. It really doesn't matter. An old Christian can have a mind corrupted just as easily. I mean, hopefully that Christian is rooted in the Bible and stuff like that, and he's trying daily, but it can happen to an old Christian. You know, we have people get saved, and they come in church, and they're excited, and it's exciting to see them, and it's exciting to be around them, but I fear. I mean, how many people have you seen come and go where the mind becomes corrupted? The soul's not corrupted, but the mind becomes corrupted. And if you're not careful, your mind will become corrupted. A grounded Christian, new Christians, old Christians, it doesn't really matter, but Paul just said, I fear. And so with that being said, the Christian's mind must be of great importance. If Paul is going to sit there and warn you, and the Lord's going to tell Paul, hey, Paul, why don't you write this down? I mean, what a great revelation to us. You know, I think earlier on in the book, it says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And so we're warned about the devil, and we're warned about some of his devices and some of his goals towards a Christian. You know, we go out and we witness to people, and we preach to them and all that. And you know what we're trying to do? We're just trying to shed light, because we know the end. They don't know their end, but we know their end. And so we labor, and we labor hard. I mean, how many people have gotten saved this last year just from personal witnessing from people in this church? A lot of people. That shows the importance. That shows how much we care about that stuff. And we should. And that's very important. But you don't want to separate yourself too much from realizing that the devil has a goal for you too. And his goal is to blind your mind, or excuse me, to corrupt your mind. But the mind, I mean, it's an amazing thing. I mean, the things that the mind can do, it's faster than a computer. Now, now to a degree, okay? I mean, if I were to put a mathematical equation out there, a computer would be much faster than mine. But man, the mind can just bring things up. You know, I mean, you smell something and it brings you back 10 years. All of a sudden you're like, whoa, that was weird. Or you hear something, you hear a song, and it's just like, wow. You hear a verse or just something. And the mind brings that stuff up, and that's an amazing thing. And of course, you could go into I know a lot of it can be bad, but I mean, you look at the power of the mind and all that it's done. I mean, all of the technology that we have these days, just the engineering that men have done. That's the mind can figure that stuff out. It's crazy. And a mind that is then put into spiritual things, That mind can hold in a lot of stuff. And so the mind is a very important thing, but Paul was worried, and he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's kind of what I want to talk about. So if the mind can become affected then, it makes me wonder then, what else is affected? Because, I mean, we do so much with our mind, and I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself, so I'm going to be a little bit vague here, but there's so much we do with our mind in the Christian life. I wonder if it bleeds into other things. And that's kind of what I kind of want to talk about, is just the possible effects of a corrupted mind. If a Christian has a mind that's corrupted, what else does it affect? What else does it then corrupt? Like a trickle-down effect. Like, what is it? What would it be? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. So I'll just point out a few things tonight. I don't think I'll be very long here, but Philippians chapter 2. We'll just point out a few things that maybe, I don't know, maybe this would be corrupted as well then. Philippians chapter 2. Before I read it, if what you do with your mind is think, the first logical thing to say would be is that if your mind can be corrupted and you think with your mind, it's easy to see where this is going, right? The thoughts become corrupt if you're not careful, right? That would be an obvious thing to point out. But in Philippians chapter 2, look at what it says in verse 2. It says this, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So, if the devil's goal is to then corrupt a Christian's mind, I wonder if it would then, if the trickle-down effect would be if a fellowship with the brethren would be corrupted, possibly. You know, I mean, if the devil can successfully get in your mind and corrupt your mind, it kind of seems plausible to say that maybe that would also be something that could get corrupted. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, or no, go for 1 Peter chapter 3. And it's probably too late, but you could keep your hand in Philippians because we'll be back there next. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, with that along those lines of the fellowship with your brethren being corrupted because of a corrupt mind, look what it says in verse 8. It says, "Finally, be all of one mind." So you're supposed to all be of one mind. So it's obvious that, okay, so this is a mind that is uncorrupted, right, from the devil. And it says, "Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." And so, again, I bet if the devil could corrupt the mind, and if the trickle-down effect would be the fellowship of the brethren being corrupted, I wonder if it would also affect your compassion. Right? It says, I already turned away from it, so it doesn't matter, whatever. But listen, I wonder if your compassion would be corrupted. And so there's a lot of things. I mean, my dad had a couple of sermons on the mind, and I think it's a really interesting study, and especially hearing it, hearing people do studies about it. But the mind is a deep thing. And so Paul said, I don't want your minds to be corrupted. Because if he can corrupt your minds, it's just, it opens up a door for so many other things for him to corrupt. Go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2:10. Oh, let's see. 3:10. I wrote that down wrong. 3:10. It says this. It says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And I wonder if the devil can successfully corrupt your mind, I wonder how much it would corrupt your walk. I wonder how much it would corrupt your ambition to know Jesus Christ. And it just makes sense that it would happen. You feed your stuff everything from the world and you allow that black dog to eat as much junk as he wants. It only makes sense that it would affect your walk. You get yourself so busy with stuff, that's just kind of the natural path, I would think. I mean, I'm not saying that it is, so I'm not trying to be too pushy on Wednesday night, but I'll just put it out there as a possibility. That what, when you allow your mind to be corrupted by the devil, and again, I don't know where that line is of the devil corrupting it versus you maybe opening doors to things. I don't know, but I'm just going to put it all in one basket tonight and say the devil's corruption. I mean, if that's the case, it's going to affect your walk at some point. It's going to happen. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your spirit, the mind, you need to renew the spirit of your mind. It's not, you know, salvation is a one-time thing. But you know what you need to always go back and do? You need to renew the spirit of your mind. Because listen, corruption creeps in awfully easily. I mean, the things that you have to deal with. I mean, it's so crazy because for you to see something and then look away, it may not be sin. But you can look at that same thing and sin because it's all up here. It's all what you decide to do with it. And you can corrupt your mind that easily. Or in this case, the devil can corrupt it that easily. So what are you going to do? And it says in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man which is after which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So I wonder if maybe the devil corrupting the mind, if Paul could see this, or if the Lord just could see a man's life playing out, get saved, and that mind is corrupted, just what happens next? Like, you know, what happens when a man takes that hit for the first time? Where does his life at? Where does his life lead? Right? I mean, you could picture it. It just goes down. And so I wonder if it would maybe allow the mind to revert to the old nature more easily, right? I mean, it's hard enough to keep your mind where it should be. And so when you do open up those doors, man, that old man slips in so easily. The devil just kind of creaks that door open, right? Maybe he'll get in underneath that threshold. It doesn't need a lot of room, and you've got to be careful because your mind, when it becomes corrupted, it may just possibly lead to other things. The one thing that it will do is when your mind is corrupted, it will absolutely corrupt the new man. I mean, it will mess with the new man. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Again, these are just possibilities of if the mind becomes corrupted, what else could become corrupted? So these are just possibilities. Romans chapter 15, and look at verse 4. It says this, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. But it says in verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. I wonder if the devil corrupting your mind, or you allowing him into your mind, I wonder if it would ever affect the unity of praise. I wonder if it would ever affect what could come from this church or from any other church. Is if there's corrupted minds, everything else can become so much more corrupt. And I wonder at what point does that then affect the praise that individuals can give to Jesus Christ. I don't know. But it can absolutely affect your praise. I mean, I bet with a corrupt mind, your mind doesn't just allow those words to flip off of your tongue. Ah, praise the Lord. Right? What does come out? I don't know. I'm not saying that you maybe say anything bad, but that stuff just doesn't flow as easily. And why is it? Well, you open the door for corruption, and now it's affecting other things. So I wonder if it would affect your praise. I'll also go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and all the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I'll just say this as a, I wonder if this would happen, but then I have a definite for you. I have a definite, okay? I wonder if it affect your memory. It's interesting to me that when somebody that goes to church, is involved in a church, believes the Bible, all that stuff, and then you can see them get off track, and it's interesting how it's almost like they forgot everything that they were taught. I'm not saying that they do, but it just seems that way. And as they're leaving the church, they're spewing things that are like, a year ago you told, like you were, you, these were the things you believed. And it's almost like now they don't even remember that. So maybe, but I will say this, it will affect your purity. It will affect the pureness of your mind. Your mind is going to be corrupted. And by the devil being able to get in there and corrupt your mind, those thoughts aren't going to be so pure. And listen, you already have to fight stuff off in your mind. So you opening, I mean, it's like opening up the floodgates. There's so much more stuff that you have to push back in your mind. And if you want to get back to where you were, you can. But now there's all this other stuff that, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry about that. Lord, I'm sorry about that. And it's because the devil wants to corrupt the mind, so it just seems logical that it would affect other things. And so something that will happen is it will affect the pureness of your mind. And so Paul said, but I fear, and it makes me wonder if that's some of the reasons why. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And listen, I think that if you're not careful, it'll affect your fight against the world. If you do not conform, if you do not transform your mind by the Bible and by those things and correct your thoughts, and you're just going to conform to the world, I mean, it's going to affect your walk with Jesus Christ so much, but you're not going to fight the world like you should. So if you don't transform that mind, and again, that is an active thing that you do daily. And if you don't, listen, I mean, if you have enough spiritual sense, you will very quickly notice the decline in your walk. And so you need to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's something you have to do every day. And then it says in verse 3, not to think, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So you even have to be careful of what you think of yourself. You're going to have to fight your own ego. I mean, it's so easy to like think of yourself doing something and it's just like, oh, I can, before you know it, you're convincing somebody you can do this better than anybody else. And it's like, you're an idiot. I mean, you're actually dumb enough to convince yourself of that. That you're pretty dumb. But we all do that. And I mean, you even have to fight that. You have to watch that stuff. And you're not so, you know, it says, and you that compare yourselves among yourselves are not wise. Right? What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to look to Jesus Christ. You're supposed to look at Jesus Christ, and you're just supposed to follow him. And so it's some of that. And the reason why this was kind of interesting to me was, go to Ezekiel chapter 28. It was interesting to me. I ran into this verse. I tried to get a study off of this before, and I couldn't do it. But I found it a very, very interesting phrase in this verse. To me, it opened up a lot of things, and it opened up the verse in 2 Corinthians 11. Let's see, verse 17. Yeah, Ezekiel 28. Verse 14, it says this, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And so you guys know the fall of the devil in Isaiah 14. And you guys know what happened there. But look what it says in verse 17. It says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. And what is the next thing that it says? Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. That's what the devil did to his own wisdom. The things that the devil got, that Lucifer got to see, the things that he was able to take part of, he allowed that to corrupt his mind. And I know that there's a lot that goes into that, but the Lord says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And what did he say? He goes, I will be like the Most High. I will take my throne and I will make my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend to above the sides of the north. I'm going to do this. And he allowed that to corrupt his wisdom. And so now his whole goal is to do what? To corrupt. The place where your wisdom comes from, where you think about stuff, I shouldn't have said that, that's wrong, but the place where you think, that's where he tries to get in, and that's where he tries to corrupt. And it makes so much sense, because go to Matthew chapter 22. Go to Matthew 22. Why would he corrupt the mind? This is why he would corrupt the mind. Matthew 22, and look at what it says in verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Because that is one of the places that you love Jesus Christ. Before you do anything, before you say anything, before you go anywhere, you know where that love forms? Up there. And so it just makes sense. His wisdom, he corrupted his own wisdom. He's now out to corrupt your minds. Why? Because that's where you love the Lord. That's one of the ways that you love the Lord. And so he wants to corrupt it. Go to Romans chapter 7. Go to Romans chapter 7. And it says in verse 23, it says 7:23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So you serve the Lord up here. I mean, if you can go astray up here, you can serve him up here. You may not be able to go out and do anything for the Lord right now actively, but you can think about it. There are things that you can think about and study and meditate on. There are people that you can pray for. You can actively fight the battle in your mind. And when you don't, it's not good. But that's what you're supposed to do. So you love him with your mind. You can serve him with your mind. And that's kind of a weird thought, because it's like serving the Lord. It's like doing things, going somewhere. Like, I got to do something. No. No, you don't have to. You know what you can mull over up here in your mind? You can mull over the scriptures. There's no reason why you can't try to memorize the scripture. Right? And so that's what the devil tries to do. So just a few verses that are extremely familiar here. Go to Philippians chapter 4. I'm just about done. Philippians chapter 4. And you got to be careful, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you got to be careful about what goes on in your mind. Right? Your heart and your mind, they're connected very, very much in the Bible. They're connected. And so you have to be careful about what you think, because before you know it, what's up here is going to be what's coming out. Right? It's not what is outside of a man that corrupts him, but it's what's within. And so in Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You're going to have to force your mind to think about what it should think about. You're going to have to force your mind to not take these rabbit trails where you're now playing out these thoughts and now they're imaginations. Now you're playing movies out in your mind that don't need to be there. And it doesn't even have to be something, egregious and horrible. Right? It can just be, hey, your mind doesn't have to do that. And so it says what? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. So you're going to have to force yourself to do that. And if you're not willing to do that, your mind is going to become corrupted very easily. So those are just a few of the things. I'll just go to this verse, Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. You're going to need to decide to think on heavenly things. That's going to be an active decision that you have to decide to do. And listen, you know, there are going to be times where, you know, if you want to take everything literal, I mean, you're not going to be able to think on those every second of the day, right? Because you have work. There's things that I can't multitask. So like, I can't sit there and pray and then do this crazy thing. Like, it's like, so Lord, what do you mean? But listen, as you do that, you take care of the things that you need to take care of. As you go throughout your day, listen, your mind is going to stay cleaner. If you're choosing, no, this is the way I am making my mind go down this path. As you do that, listen, you're going to have to filter out less because you're actively fighting that. And so in Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And listen, the devil, as we all know, but the devil is out to corrupt the mind. And he corrupted his own wisdom, and that's what he wants to do. And so listen, if old Christian, new Christian, you need to choose what you're going to think about. And you don't need to fill it with all of this other junk. And you need to fill it with this, right? It doesn't mean you can't have any fun doing anything. I mean, good, healthy fun. It doesn't mean you can't be entertained by something. But you got to be careful because you have to have that right balance. And so anyways, that is it for tonight. But I just thought that was kind of interesting. I tried to, you try to bring some of this up and you want to warn Christians. And it's like, if you do this, you will be greatly helped. And so anyways, we'll go ahead and shut it down there, or I'll just ramble.